gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1237. This is your host, Danny Pena, and joining me, we have the whole Gamertag Radio crew, and this is the last episode, by the way, the last episode of the year. So what's going to happen, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back here January 8th. That's right, January 8th. And let's introduce you to the first co-host, X-Bot himself, Paris Lilly.
Good morning. What a way to end 2022.
The timing was perfect. The timing was perfect. For those that are watching the stream, Paris has his Xbox hoodie. He was just showing it. I'm like, yes, yeah, the Xbox itself. Yeah. Yeah, it's all good. And also, all the way from across the globe, the other side of the planet, we have Peter Toledo, man.
Pete. What's up?
What up?
The unmute king is back. What's up, boys?
Hey, Twitch called you out, by the way, a couple days
that
ago.
That was not right, man. They just put all my business out there.
Twitch was like, all right, I think it was like the 1% of all streamers mute their mic
multiple times during
the stream.
And I'm Mr. Pete. Mute himself.
Yes. There you go, man. So shout out to everybody that's watching this special episode. Again, this is the last episode of 2022. We'll be back January 8th. Brand new content is going to be our 18th year of GTR. So stay tuned for all the good stuff. And look, 2023 is going to be a good year. It's going to be a lot of games that got delayed from this year, all coming out next year. And hopefully there's going to be a couple games also that was announced a couple years back that's also coming out. Paris, what's up? Why are you showing your sweater, your hoodie, multiple times?
Because the chat asked to see it, so I was showing it to him. Stop breaking the fifth wall and do the show. Why are you worried about what
you're
I'm
breaking?
Doing?
You're breaking the fifth wall. You're actually interacting and engaging with the chat, which you know is all. See, you're there.
Nobody listening would have known that if you didn't say anything.
Oh God!
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Tanya. Fifth wall? Is it fourth wall? Fifth wall?
With Danny, it's the 43rd wall. It's just...
it's part of the multiverse.
Four skews, fifth wall. Got it. I got it. It makes sense.
It's all good. So,
can I say this before we get into the show? Can I say this?
Yes. Yeah, I can't even start the show, but go ahead.
Jesus. We're going to 2023? So, in the 17 years I've known you... God damn, that's a long time. But the 17 years I've known you... Four skew is still the funniest freaking thing that you've ever
done.
Of
all time.
Yes.
Of all time.
And I'm right.
You peaked. You peaked in that moment. It'll never get better than that.
But let's be real. I'm technically kind of right.
No, you're not.
I was technically right.
You see what you did now?
Look, Xbox One, Xbox One S. Xbox Series S and Xbox Series X. And plus you can put the PC in there and mobile and all that. That's like extra, but...
Why
did I say anything? I apologize. I shouldn't have said anything.
Look. Shout out to Studio MDHR. This sent me a physical version of Cuphead. And guess what it says in the physical game of Cuphead? It says... Xbox One. Hey, man. Four skew, baby. Still out there.
Can I say one other thing before we get into the show?
Go ahead. Yeah, sure.
You know, 2022 has been an interesting year. You know, first of all, congratulations to you and your wife. Beautiful wedding. Everything. All that. It's fantastic. But here's what I learned in 2022. I now know why y'all got married. Because y'all are the same. The way she went after me last week. I was like, oh my God, they're freaking twins. Y'all the same.
What? What are you talking about?
The Game Awards last week. Remember, I was old my suit, and what she said in public, it hurt. right there. Did I go, the freaking twins. That sounds like something he would say. Wow.
Hey.
Crushed.
Hey, it's meant to be. It's all good. It's all good. All right. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com and make sure to check out our past episodes. We have a lot of content. Make sure to share that with your friends, family members, all that, even your community. Just tell them about GTR. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just search for GamerTag Radio and subscribe, follow us. Now, if you like this episode or any other episode that you got the chance to listen to, this is your opportunity to show us love. Help us out. Help us out. Post a review. It will help us get discovered by other people. So it only takes a couple seconds of your time. Review us on any podcast app, especially Spotify and Apple Podcasts. All right. That's about it. Now, if you would like to be part of our family discussion, now we've been getting a lot of messages, but I'm going to save that for when we come back January 8th. Here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so I love this episode. I love recording Game of the Year episode because we'd have different opinions of our top favorite games and everything. But before we mention any of those games, overall, your thoughts about this year. For me, I feel like this year I discovered more indie games more than ever before, that it was actually really, really good. I enjoyed those games that came out. And I feel like those games also stood out throughout the year more than any other time. And the reason a lot of the AAA games got pushed, you know, got delayed. And I felt like it was a great opportunity for indie studios to show their games and everything, man. You know, some were really, really good. Some was okay. But overall, it was really awesome to see indie games shine more than ever this year, in my opinion, for me, man. So do you guys feel the same? Let's start with Pete.
I mean, I've always been appreciative of the indie games, you know, for my last probably 4 or 5 end, you know, Game of the Year episodes. I always throw in that one game that people are like, huh? You know, whether it be, you know, Slay the Spire, Hades 2-3 years ago. There's a small and simple place in my heart for games from indies. Hell, Hyperloop that we played at the indie showcase, Xbox ID at the last E3 that I went to, things like that, right? It's just simple games. They don't have to have the $400 million budgets, although I'm sure they would love them. They don't need them to capture our hearts and our minds with an amazing set of gameplay. You see a bunch of that on there as Paris types extremely loud on his keyboard.
Extremely loud. My guy. Sounds like an angry post or something. What's going on? What's going on over there?
But indies show why you don't need a $400 million budget. AAA budget studios behind them, pushing them with marketing, etc. It's games like those from the indie developers. So that's, for me, you'll always find one or two on mine.
Good, good. How about you, Paris, besides your cracking keyboard. Up over there?
Besides your keyboard.
What was the question again? I'm kidding, I know. No, I mean, yes, this was a great year for indie games. Matter of fact, I'll call out one that didn't even make my, because I did like a top 10 list to say what our honorable mentions are, but like an extra one, Loot River, as an example. It's something I play on my Steam Deck all the time because it's a fantastic kind of throwback game, but made by an indie studio. And that's the beauty of indie gaming, is you have these smaller studios that come up with these great concepts and they take risks. To me, that's the beauty of having these independent games. They do something different. And obviously, when we get into our our top fives and all that, there's a couple that are in there that specifically do that, that I really admired why it made my top five. So yeah, indie gaming, you know, we've said for the longest, has always been just the backbone of this industry. That's where you get the innovation that then starts to filter up, you know, into the bigger AAA games. But it all starts with indie gaming.
Yeah, and you could play that on, you know, Game Pass, which it helps also to highlight them, because, you know, you can't, some people can't buy every game that's out there, you know, but if it goes on Game Pass, it will be great to just, hey, let me try this out, you know. So
that's Game Pass, cool. Why are you praising Game Pass? Why would you do that? Why would you do that, Danny? Why would you say something about,
you know,
Game
why
Pass?
You know why? Because I was inspired by your hoodie, by your Xbox hoodie that you were showing into the stream, to the chat. And I was inspired. I'm like, man, you know what? Let's talk about Game Pass. That's right. It's all good. All right. So we usually do the top five games of our game of the year, right? It's not award winning or anything like that. It's more of like personal favorites, right? So let's go with honorable mentions first, because I have a couple. I have a couple from honorable mentions. So I'm going to go with one first that I felt was really, really cool. And that's, and I had a great time playing this. And that's The Quarry. They came out from 2K Games early this year. I had an amazing time playing that. And the thing that I really enjoy, besides the stories and everything in that, is that I also got to play this with my wife. So we were like, she was watching me play, and she would tell me like sometimes like decisions to make in that game. And it completely, completely changed the story. Some characters will stay alive, some will die based on your decisions and everything. And I had an amazing time. I think it's so, so good for people to play that game. Also, another game that I really enjoy, because I really like this type of interactive games like this, As Dusk Falls. I know Paris and the kind of Funny Crew had an event to promote that game. And I just love the experience of having so many people to play, and they could also help you make the decisions too, that also would change the story of the game. So one of my top two favorite stories that I think of any game was those two games right there, man. And another game that I really enjoy, because I just love horror games, zombie games, is Dying Light 2, that came out really, really early this year. And I had an amazing time playing that. I have so many hours. I think it's like 40-something hours in that game. And I know there's more content that just came out recently, and I'm probably gonna go back and play it again, because I really had a good time with that, man. So Paris, let's go with you, man. I know you said you have a couple games there from your honorable mentions.
Yeah, we're talking honorable mentions. I don't have the list in front of me directly, but off the top of my head, I never say it right. Signalis is one game, as we talk about indie gaming. Really caught me by surprise over the past few weeks, you know, when I discovered, I believe it's also on Game Pass right now as well, but it's sci-fi horror throwback, the old school style of the visuals to it, but it's a fantastic story once you really get into it. Highly recommend people check that game out, and shout out to Cam, because he's been a big champion of that on social media, which is what got me interested in it. And when I sat down and started playing, I was like, oh, goddamn, this is a great game. Love it. Absolutely loving it. So that would be one. My most played game on the Steam Deck is Rogue Legacy 2. Again, another indie game, obviously a sequel to the original Rogue Legacy, and fantastic. I just love to go through, and you're just doing various runs. And obviously, you know, the gimmick with Rogue Legacy 2 is, you know, every time you die, basically your descendant comes back with different perks and skill sets and things like that. And you can use that to your advantage as you advance through the levels. Absolutely love that game. Another one, Pentiment, caught me by surprise. I did not give this a lot of, I didn't have a lot of expectations with Pentiment. I just thought, okay, Josh Schroyer's doing a passion project. This is something that is, yeah, yeah, you know, because when I was early played it. So it's inside scoop on this one. So I'm over at Danny's house with him and his wife. And I'm talking about it because I just started playing it. I was like, man, I don't know about this game. I was like, script, 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 script. I was like, I don't know if I could do this. and I pushed through it. And once you get through that first act and you really start getting into the story, that whole murder mystery aspect of that story, loved it. Absolutely loved the story that that they had. And it was so cool being at the Game Awards and talking to a couple of people from Obsidian about it. And they're telling me stuff I didn't even realize. Like, if you make certain choices, it'll take the story off in a completely different path. And I was like, oh, crap, makes me want to go back and play it again. But I would say those three from an honorable mention would be it for me. Yeah.
Really dope. Really dope. Yeah. You know what? A lot of people are telling me, Danny, you have to play this because the story is awesome. I'm going to give it a try. And I think that game is perfect too for the Steam Deck, right, Paris? Like, it works great and everything. Cause I probably will buy and support it.
I didn't play it on the Steam Deck. I played it on PC and on the Xbox. But yeah, I would imagine obviously it would be easily playable on the Steam Deck. No issues.
I'll check it out. Mm-hmm. All right, Pete, your honorable mentions.
All right. I think the first one for me is going to be Tunic from these Finji Games.
Tough game, but good.
There's really nothing good like a game that challenges you the way Tunic does without an instruction manual. Like, you got to figure it out as you play the game, right? And there's been a handful of games this year that have made me want to pitch my controller across the room. But a game like Tunic is like too cute to like throw your controller at the times. Like I said, you got to unlock the manual as you play the game. So it truly rewards you. More as you put more time into it, right? It's kind of like a relationship, almost like it. It kind of gives me like Dark Souls meets Zelda vibes, but you're not tethered to a Switch to have to play it, right? You can play it on any platform. It's phenomenal. Great art direction, great polish. For me, it was a refreshing break from some of the other games that are on my list. So for me, Tunic from Finji was one. The other one was Metal Hellsinger. As the resident metalhead of the crew, I have to give this its due justice and shine. It's super original. It's like a music based hack and slash, but you can't just like sit there and just like, you know, flail around. You have to, you know, time your attacks to the beat of the song. And all three of us love music, right? Regardless of the genre. But it's an amazing game. And then when you've got vocals from legends that I really truly appreciate, Matt Heafy from Trivium, he's a major Twitch contributor. He's amazing. His band Trivium is one of my favorites. I'm actually going to go see them in a few months in Zurich. Randy Blythe from Lamb of God, Surge from System of a Down. There's a bunch. It's an amazing, if you love heavy metal and you like video games, probably one of the best opportunities, you know, as a gamer that you could find out there. So those are my two honorable mentions.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, that game, I played that a lot on my Steam Deck too before it came out. So, and originally, I was about to mention that too, Pete. You know, I was trying to get him from a System of Down for an interview a couple months back. Yeah, I was trying to do that. It was just the scheduling and everything. But yeah, I was trying really, really hard. I was like, oh man, if I could get this for Pete, oh.
Yeah, that would have been dope. But I'm sure getting somebody like Matt or from Trivium would have been easy because of the whole link from Twitch. He's like I said, he's a huge streamer on Twitch. He does he regularly has music artists come to him and to figure out how to properly stream, because he does 2 to 3 streams a day. You know, he streams, you know, rehearsals. He streams all the concerts. So if you're a fan of the band, you can go to them, watch their concerts live. Like, he'll go through the backstage, show prep, and then the actual concert is actually streamed through his channel on Twitch. So he's a pioneer in that regard. And so, I mean, that's somebody. If you can find somebody that we could do, we got to do that.
All right. So first, Paris was showing his Xbox hoodie. Now he's showing his Cobra Kai t-shirt. I don't know what's going on. Paris is like turning into a model for 2023. It's like, first the start of the Game Awards and not the start. All right. So let's go with the top, all our top five games. So we're going to start with number five first. Now, for me, I don't know if a lot of people are going to pick this game. But for me,
you notice how he always goes first and he never lets us go first. You notice that?
No,
I'm just pointing it out.
Yeah, always. I'm the host. I'm the captain now.
Actually,
all right.
Hold up. I'm the captain here, actually. You know, I just cut your whole stream off right now.
No, but on the real. So this game means a lot to me because, you know, I grew up way back. Like, my first console was the Atari. This year was a very important year. It's the 50th anniversary of Atari. I even had and talked to the new CEO of Atari and the team earlier this year when they were in LA and everything. So I heard about the Atari 50th anniversary compilation that was coming out in October. And I was like, oh, cool. You know, they're going to have some games there that you could play and everything. So I didn't know that they partnered with Digital Eclipse. And in that game, there's so much history and content. Like, there's a documentary which you could watch. You could also try out some, like, prototype games that never came out. You get to see TV ads, posters, interviews, like, all type of stuff. Also, you could play all the Atari games from, like, the 70s all the way till now. Like, you could even try out, you know, the arcade games, the Atari 2600, or even a Jaguar, if you want to try that out. And it has so much history, man. Dude, I was playing that on my Steam Deck. For multiple days, I was sleeping like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, just either playing some of the games, which also helped me to unlock new content that's over there in that compilation. Or I was just like, just watching documentaries and just learning the history about everything. Even talk about like their failures and everything. Like, it was really well done. And out of all the games that I played throughout the years, that are like, when it comes to like compilations and all that stuff, this has been like the best one that I've ever seen. The best with the amount of content that is available there, man. So this is available on all platforms. Make sure to check it out. It's the Atari 50th anniversary celebration. It's an amazing, amazing package if you guys want to check it out, man. So that's for me as a fan of Atari. This is my number five. So let's go with Pete. Your number five.
You skip Paris all just on purpose, huh?
No, I'm switching around, man. You know,
that's all good. Yeah. It's all good. All right. So for number five for me, A Plague Tale: Requiem from Asobo Games. Mm-hmm. From my understanding, quite possibly the perfect sequel. I haven't played Plague Tale: Innocence, which was the first one. So I kind of had to like understand and kind of like quickly come to speed with how what the game is all about. But the stealth mechanics, the story was just amazingly well written, right? And then on top of that, well acted. The performances by the voice actors in the game are amazing. No AAA budget, no major studio backing, but it shows, right? Again, it goes back to what we talked about earlier about indie games, man. It's you don't need to have all of that to be an amazing game. So for me, Plague Tale. Requiem. I'm a fan now. If you like action, adventure, survival, horror, stealth in your games, Plague Tale Requiem is definitely something you should pick up.
Yeah, shout out to the voice actress, Charlotte. She, I got to introduce her during the Game Awards, and she's a really, really cool person, man. She worked on the first one. I think she was 16 during that time, and now with the new one, she's like in her 20s and everything, so... I mean, for those who don't know, man, it takes a very long time to work on the game, man. So, but she's super cool, very, very talented. She actually was nominated for Best Performance of the Game Awards. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. What happened, Paris?
Where was I at?
No, you weren't there. You weren't there at the first event. And the second one...
You were in traffic.
You were in traffic. You were stuck in traffic. No, the second one, I briefly saw her at the Game Awards. We said hi very quick, and she was like with her friends and everything. So, yeah, she's super cool.
Yeah, because...
You were modeling during the Game Awards.
I was supposed to meet up with her too through our mutual friend. So I'm thinking you doing some side stuff without me. Upsets me.
Hey, I engage with people.
Ooh.
All right, Paris, what's your number five?
I don't have one. I'm done. Goodbye. it's Horizon Forbidden West. I just absolutely adored that game. And I've always found it interesting during this year. Like when I played it when it came out, I really enjoyed it. Had a lot of fun with it. I love that open world. Obviously, continuing Aloy's story. Just everything, you know, attacking the different monsters various ways with weapons. Like, the whole package of that game really connected with me. Visually, it's one of the best looking games that you could play on a PlayStation 5 as well. But I was surprised. Very divisive game throughout the year. I've seen a lot of varying comments about it as far as people. Some people love it like I do. Some people can't stand it at all. They think the open world is very boring. I mean, the Horizon games have always, from an open world standpoint, kind of emulated the Far Cry series. And I'm fine with that. But I think Aloy's story is unique enough, along with kind of the quote unquote monster hunter aspects of it, you know, with the different, you know, monsters that or beasts that you'll have to tackle during the game. I just thought it was phenomenal. Obviously, it wound up getting nominated during the actual Game Awards itself. So I think a lot of people thought as I did. But for me, yeah, solidly in the top five at number five would be Horizon Forbidden West.
Awesome. So we're going to go with number four. Number four, for me, this is a game where I got to see it in person during Summer Game Fest, and that, what happened?
I think you should switch it up so you're not always the first one to go.
All right, after this round, I'll switch it up, okay? Can you stay quiet for a little bit?
How about now? How about you let Pete go right now?
No, I already talked. I already started, so I'm moving on. Moving on. We're doing this live. All right, so I got to see this game during Summer Game Fest, and I wasn't really feeling it. I was kind of like, meh. I don't know, something about the game. I'm like, meh. So I got a review copy from Sega, and I got to play. Oh God, Paris! Jesus Christ, Paris! Can I talk about my game? Can I talk about my game? That's really rude. That's rude, man. Mute yourself. My God. All right. So, like I was saying, Sega sent me an advanced copy of Sonic Frontiers for the PS5. And I started playing it. I was like, is it going to be good or not? We'll see. Yo, I was completely hooked. I'm going to keep it real. I got God of War and Sonic Frontiers at the same time. And I'm like, oh, man, I really want to play both, right? I played more hours of Sonic Frontier than God of War at the beginning. So I started playing it. Love the story. Love the soundtrack. I think personally, besides Metal Hellsinger, Pete, this is one of the best soundtracks I've ever heard of this year. Hands down. Like, hands down, one of the best soundtracks. Amazing boss battles. First time true open world for Sonic. This is the first time that I've seen this for the first time. And it's more of like open world zones. So the first zone, you can go anywhere and you will discover hidden items, hidden bosses. There's like a bunch of stuff there. And that will help you to collect items, which also will allow you to unlock like the bosses for that zone. And then you go to the other one, et cetera, et cetera. So plus I had that. It reminded me a little bit of like the Sonic camera issues with like the old school Dreamcast, and I felt like it was like special, you know. I have 40 something hours of that game. Truly amazing. I really enjoyed that game. It was one of the biggest surprises for me, and it sucked that the game didn't really get that much love during the Game Awards. I think it was a really well done game, man. And I see the potential of Sonic Team taking this game in the future and make it even better. Because they had some issues here and there for that game, you know. But I really enjoyed it. I think it was amazing. One of my favorite games, and the games that has one of the most hours that I've played so far this year has been Sonic Frontiers, man. So it was really, really good. So if you guys are a fan of Sega and Sonic, you should definitely try this game out. So and this was for the PS5. So all right, Paris, your turn.
Wow, you switched it up. So, my number four.
It's an earthquake. Earthquake.
Yeah, it was an earthquake because I was so excited I couldn't contain myself. no, my number four would be Vampire Survivors. And this is just a game that just got on my radar recently that just got its hooks in me and has not let go. Ironically enough, I'll never forget, you know, when we're doing our voting for the Game Awards. And I remember you put Game of the Year, you put Vampire Survivors in there. And I'm thinking, well, why is he doing that? Really? That game? Like, because again, if you look at it on the surface and you don't play it, you don't get it. And I'll never forget one Saturday morning, I'm just sitting here and I go, you know what? Let me try this Vampire Survivor thing. Let me see what the fuss is all about. Just put a chokehold on me and let go. Because my God, that game is fantastic. The simplicity of it doesn't define it, because it's simple to pick up. Obviously, you're just moving the left analog stick around. But once you start combining the different power sets together as you're going through, and you just get to God mode to get to 30, you know, that 30 minute limit, you know, before the Grim Reaper shows up, it's fantastic. It's just fantastic. And now that DLC is out as well, I can't wait to jump back in and just keep pushing through. So yeah, number four for me would be Vampire Survivors.
Yeah, amazing game. Amazing game. Pete, your turn.
For me, it's number four, Kirby in the Forgotten Land. Call me late to this game, because I didn't get until like later on this year when I finally found my Switch. But I think for me, it's 3D platforming done right, and possibly the best in the whole series. Like, there's like 13, 14 games in the whole series dating back years, right? But mm-hmm. The controls and gameplay are super easy to just pick up and play. I love how the level design for each one is unique to the theme of the level. While I do wish the gameplay was a little bit longer, I think that's more of my own personal bias because I wanted to keep playing it and enjoying it. But I really like how it kept the vibe of the OG Kirby games, but put it in a new great 3D type setting. And hopefully this is like the future for Kirby games moving forward. So for me, number four, Kirby in the Forgotten Land.
That's good. That's good. You were playing a lot of the Nintendo Switch where you were traveling. Yeah. A lot of people don't know this. So, and this is before you even got your Steam Deck.
No, this is cool, after I got my Steam Deck. I got my
Switch. Oh, after?
Remember,
okay.
Remember, I found my Switch for another game. Remember, so I found it later in the year. So it was just like, in between those things, gaming on handhelds is a lot of fun these days.
It is fun. And by the way, Paris, what's up with your reaction?
You always be putting people personal business out there. Let him speak for himself.
But it's true. It's public. He mentioned it publicly on Twitter. What do you want me to say? He's been playing a lot of Switch. Because he found it. Yeah. What the hell's your problem? Go away. And you know what, Paris?
It was just Danny that wasn't listening. It's okay. It's all right.
No, whatever. Whatever. You know, Paris said to change it up. So go, Paris. You want to go first? Go ahead.
Oh, we're going to number three?
Number three. Oh, yeah, wow. Number three. Go ahead.
Thank you. My number three is Cult of the Lamb. Again, another game that just grabbed me during the summer that I thought was fantastic. And the beauty of Cult of the Lamb to me is the fact that it took multiple genres that seemingly don't go together, but it works in this game. I mean, basically taking a resource manager, a survivor game at the same time, mashing those two genres together, and it totally works. I love the story. I love the cuteness of it. For looking for a simple word to describe it, but it's great. It's absolutely great. I can't wait until they come out with some kind of DLC expansion, something, because. Yeah, just one of the best games you could play in 2022. So yes, my number three is Cult of the Lamb.
No wonder you're Satan himself. All right, Pete, go next. Your turn, Pete.
Number three, it's something Paris already mentioned, Vampire Survivors. I think all three of us, you know, we struggled when we were giving our final decisions for our nominations for the Game Awards. It's frenetic, it's high pace. The gameplay is proof alone that, like I said earlier in the show, that you don't need a massive budget or amazing graphics, and brings us all back to why we love games, right? Like Slay the Spire and Hades before it, Vampire Survivor is just it's indie gameplay at its best. I think it's kind of like Robotron 2042 meets Vampires, if you remember that game from the arcades back in the days. That was always one of my favorites. It's one that I always went back to. And it's exactly what Vampire Survivors is like. And it's everything I wanted and needed in 2022. I love like some of the AOE weapons, like cherry bombs and pentagrams, for just like clearing the screens, especially when they're like fully leveled up. And it's a lot of fun. So if you've got, and it's not, and it's mad cheap too. So if you've got a few dollars and you want to throw it down, pick it up. Vampire Survivors, phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Also, for me, my number three is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. Hey, it's my opinion. It's my list, Paris. The reason why I love beat 'em up games, I love Streets of Rage, I love Turtles in Time, I love Final Fight. So when I heard that they were going to bring back Ninja Turtles as a beat 'em up game, I was like, oh man, is it going to be good? I hope so. Because look, Streets of Rage 4, still to this day, I play that game on my Steam Deck, on consoles, amazing, right? So yeah, like I have so many hours playing that game. I really enjoyed it. Michelangelo and Raphael are two of my favorite Ninja Turtles. I was always switching just to see how it is. Great boss battles. Amazing soundtrack. I love the soundtrack so much. I even bought the vinyl of the soundtrack, which also features Ghostface and Raekwon. It features Megan Rand and a couple other people there, man. Amazing music for this game, man. So I had an amazing time playing that game this year, and it's my top three. So if you have an opportunity, make sure to try this game. I think it's still available on Xbox Game Pass, still to this day. So make sure to check it out. It's a must have game to have this year, and it's cheap. So there you go. All right. So for number two, we're gonna start with Pete. Number two.
All right. Number two for me, Mario Rabbids Sparks of Hope from Ubisoft Milan and Ubisoft Paris.
Wait, repeat that again. Which one?
Mario Rabbids Sparks of Hope.
Dope.
Did I not enunciate enough for you?
No, it was breaking. I couldn't hear. I only heard Ubisoft. That's the only thing I heard. So yeah, I only heard Ubisoft. So. Hey.
Overall, yeah. Extremely polished, fun game. As if you follow the show for a while, we were all fans of the first one, right? Caught us all by surprise. I remember when we all got to see it for the first time. I believe we were all in San Francisco, and it truly caught us by surprise, and we loved it from day one. So obviously, the sequel is going to have a lot of eyes on it. It's going to have a lot of focus. But it was fantastic. Again, it's another game that's much easier to pick up and play as compared to the first one. I think the first one was a little bit more difficult getting into there. Well, Ubisoft Ninja's getting into Paris is Yeah. But yeah, they did a remarkable, I think the dev team did a remarkable job of going into listening to feedback from players and realizing what worked, what didn't work, and taking some of those components out and reworking the game so that it's more cohesive. It's easier to pick up and play. I think the way they introduced some of the new characters like Edge and Rosalina, the way they brought them into the game, and then the ability to use them in your normal rotation of players, the ability of now adding sparks that give like a whole new strategy component, because they all have like active and passive abilities that boost you up. And then when the super sparks hit, boom, it's amazing. So for me, I had a lot of fun playing this game, especially when, you know, like you said earlier, I travel all the time. So for me to have games that are portable and I can play long-term without, you know, and also a game like that does not draw a lot of battery. So when I'm trying to play, like if I'm playing another game, it'll like usually the battery's wiped out in like an hour and 20 hour and 30 minutes. But a game like games like those, and like I said, Vampire Survivors prior to that, they just, there's like 2.5, 3, 4 hours you can keep playing those games, and it's fantastic. So number two, Mario Rabbids Sparks of Hope.
Great choice, Pete.
Yeah, for me, it wind up being number six on my list, but everything you said, spot on. It's fantastic game. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, really, really good, man. So shout out to the team, everybody, man. So my number two, two things I want to mention. I still haven't finished the game. But I really enjoy this game that I'm about to mention. Look, I'm not into these type of games at all. I know people get excited, previous games and stuff, and I was like, oh, that's not for me. But for some reason, this one got me. In the beginning, I refused to play this. I was like, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I even had a conversation with P in Paris about this, and they were like, I don't know. It's, like, we were all feeling the same about it, right? But I was just curious one day, and I started playing, and I became hooked, man. Shout out to also Manny Perez and a couple other people that were also mentioning this to me, like, yo, Dan.
You just mention the game name. It's taking you 20 minutes.
Yes, Punk, and that's Elden Ring. Elden Ring, it's a game that I felt like it did a pretty good job to get people like me that is not into those type of games at all to actually play this. Also, I'm there not knowing anything about it. I'm just there walking around everything, right? And I'm like, yo, where the hell am I? Like, I'm in like new worlds and shit. I was going to say ish, but anyway. So it's awesome. I think they did an amazing job on building this world, man. And there's so much bosses, so much content. I have never seen a game like this before in my life, man. So I suck playing it, but I'm far. But I really enjoy this game. And I think it's in my top two, man. It did an amazing job with it, man. So Paris, can I just build it up? And then I can say it? My God. What's your problem?
I can't even talk.
What is your problem? My God, I'm here praising a game that is not for, like, I thought it wasn't gonna be for me, and I had a great time, and I'm talking about it. I'm talking about my experience. Let me live. Go ahead. You go with number two.
This is why my number two is Elden Ring, by the way. Let me get that out of the way very quickly. This is why you're Christopher Judge. You spent like 30 minutes beating around the bush before you finally said. I can't talk.
Yeah, really?
My number two is Elden Ring for everything I said. Pete, I take it to you. I can't even talk.
What a
oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Go ahead, Pete. Go ahead,
I already Pete. Said my number two. My number two is, unless we're doing number ones now, because.
No. Yeah, you already did. You already did. Yeah. You said number two. You're right. Yeah, right. All right.
So can I go to my number one then? Can I do number one first?
Yes, ladies first. Go ahead.
Ooh, spicy.
Just going to ignore that and say that my number one is God of War Ragnarok. It is a story that just really connected with me. I think Sony Santa Monica, that team over there, just did a phenomenal job with this story about a father and a son, you know, and being a dad, having a teenage son, and a lot of the things, Danny knows this because I was just telling him this at the game horse, but a lot of the things that Atreus was saying, just, I'm like, sounds very familiar to me. This is how a teenage boy would talk under his breath up to or about his father. But no, it was some great emotional beats in there with that story. You know, a lot of the battles were fantastic. I mean, I get some of the criticism with some of the puzzles, them literally not giving you a chance to even solve the damn puzzle with someone speaking up, giving you a hint. It was like, let me figure it out. Horizon Forbidden West suffered through this as well. But, you know, taking all that out, just again, love the combat in it. Love the story, as I keep saying, and this was an absolute worthy sequel to the 2018 version, and just all the accolades and awards and everything that game's been getting over the past week is completely justified. So, yeah, that would be my game of the year, God of War Ragnarok.
That's a great choice. And look, I didn't put that on my top five because I want to, one, finish the game. I'm like almost done with the game. But, I just want to take my time with it, man. And I think you're right, Paris. The story is amazing. The just everything overall is really good. That intro is, sick.
Really good.
Mm-hmm. Intro is sick, but yeah. But it's a good game. Great choice, man. Pete, you want to go? Your number one pick?
Yep. Number one. I think I'm going to give this one with a little bit of a disclaimer. You'll notice that none of my games are PlayStations because I don't have a PlayStation 5. So I just feel like I throw that out there. That's the reason why I'm not going to go ahead and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to put a PlayStation game up there just to placate people or whatever. So for me, number one game, Elden Ring from From Software. I know everybody else is number twos, but for me, that was my number one. Third person, open world, Souls-like, ARPG, with writing assistance from George R.R. Martin, right? I think it truly changed the landscape of gaming this year. Over 120 plus hours in there. I think I'm almost done. Definitely got my money's worth out of this. And it's been a wild ride of emotions playing this game, from frustration to relief and everything in between. Elden Ring delivers, right? Fairly certain a good 10 to 15% of my overall game time was spent just like looking around, because it's beautiful. And trying to do like those artsy screen caps that you see everybody do on Twitter and on Instagram. And it just made me realize that I'm only good at taking pictures of food. So I stopped, but it's still just an amazingly well done game. Similar to Tunic earlier, there's no guide, there's no waypoints, and there's no easy moments in this game. And that's what From Software is all about, right? It's brutal and has some of the best game design I've seen in a long time. And that's just part of the experience, right? Nothing's handed to you. And for me, oftentimes, best is just stop and walk away and come back later. And then sometimes, miraculously, boom, it's easier to play and beat. But I also really like how they combine the systems found in other games. Where some, like the Ashes of War system, right? So you can combine your weapon skills and your affinities. And it actually lets you give, it gives you more freedom to actually play the way you want with the weapons and the skill sets that you want to do. For me, number one, Elden Ring.
Great choice, sir. Great choice. All right, for my number one, I think people already know what's my number one. And that's Vampire Survivors. I have like over 100 something hours in that game. I discovered this because I was on Steam and I saw it there and I was curious. I'm like, wow, this game is only like, what, $3? It was still like early access. So then I found out it was available on Xbox Game Pass PC. Still early access, and I started playing, and I'm like, oh my god, this game is amazing. So I was just playing it nonstop. And also now that I have my Steam Deck, when I got it earlier this year, that was like my number one game. That's my top game on the Steam Deck, by the way. I have so many hours on that, and I'm always switching from like PC Steam Deck. I'll go back to like the Xbox now that it came out for consoles. And I just love the challenge. It reminded me of like the first time I bought Geometry Wars for $5 when it came out for the Xbox 360. Like, it reminds me of that because this super cheap is only like $3 at the time. And now they're always adding new updates, new challenges, new enemies, new levels. And still to this day, I'm playing it, man. And to me, we need more of that. Like, I feel like everybody always put as number one a AAA game. And I feel like games like this and like Call to the Lamp and like Tunic and like, I would love to see more of those games that could be also Game of the Year contender, man, you know? The best part is, it's so, so challenging. And like your parents, like you were saying about the spells, you're always changing it around and see which one is right. I know people love garlic and the lightning and all that stuff, you know, when you mess around with things, and it helps you to get all the way to the end, man. So it's really, really cool. And highly recommend it. Replay value, really, really high. So Vampire Survivors is my game of the year for me. And now I'm playing it on S-Cloud on my Samsung TV. It looks great. Awesome, awesome game. And I think it's also on mobile for free now, too. So you could try it out. Yeah. iOS and Android. And yeah, there you go. And there you go, our top five games of the year, man. So before we wrap it up, I want to say this, man, to you, Paris, and also to Pete. You know, I know this year our schedule has been kind of all over the place. You know, we've been changing the live stream and the recordings all the time because we've been so busy. But I want to thank you guys for being part of GTR still. I'm still loving recording with you guys. This has been one of my favorite years for me as a, like personally for me, because one, having you guys being part of GTR, and you guys are like my family to me. you know, meeting my wife a couple years back, and we got married this year, and there's like a lot of stuff that we managed to do together, you know. 2022 has been an amazing year for me, man, and I can't wait for the future. I think that I will love to still try new things for me. I don't know what exactly was going to come up. Like this year, I released a children's book. Got a lot of press, a lot of people talking about stuff that I've never done before, you know. And it reminded me of a conversation I had with you guys years ago, that you guys like were saying, Danny, we got to try new things. We can't just be doing the same thing and just record. We have to evolve in order for us to take it to the next level, you know. I know we talked about like doing more video, doing more stuff, parodying you know, on stage, you know, last year, the Xbox showcase. And I think 2023 is going to be a better year for all of us, man. I see it not only comes with like, when it comes to like content, because there's going to be a lot of games coming out next year, but I feel like there's going to be more opportunities for us to see developers, attend events, go to their studios, get to play these games early, talk about it on the show, talk about it on social, all that stuff, man. So I'm excited for the future. But I just want to say thank you to you guys for making me a better content creator and a better person this year, man. Because, you know, sometimes I'll go through some stuff behind the scenes way back, and you guys were the first ones pushing me. Be like, nah, gotta step it up, man. Let's do this together. So just wanted to say that, man. So thank you guys for doing that.
I mean, I will just say what I always say. I thank you, because I'm not here without you. You inspired me, excuse me, to get into podcasting all those years back. You know, it was never about competition or holding back. You've always been one of the most generous people that I know. You always want to help others succeed. The fact that we, obviously the three of us, throwing Mandy and David into that as well, decided to come together in 2013, you know, and work as one towards a common vision is something I've always appreciated. And I think that's the funny thing about, like you said, this year's been chaotic. We've obviously not been consistent with the three of us recording together, but it's never been an issue, if that makes sense, right? Because we always have each other's back. It's never about, well, why is he over here doing this? Or why is that one over there doing that? Why aren't you focused on this? Because this has just become brotherhood, family, whatever. Obviously, anyone that's been watching or listening to this can see that just in this episode. I mean, I literally was hysterically laughing at one point, because that's just the thing. Like it's so funny, you and I being at the Game Awards this year, being in person around people again. What was the common thing that people kept saying, and I take it as the highest of compliments, is people are like, well, damn, y'all just the same in person as y'all are on Twitter, right? In other words, the way that we mess with each other all the time, because it's just family, man. And that's what I always appreciate out of this. It's, we'll always be each other's biggest cheerleader. And no matter what we do, either together or individually, it doesn't matter. I mean, at the end, we all win, because like whenever I hear you on an interview or doing something and you're just talking about your history, you always bring up me and Pete, and I try to vice versa do the same exact thing. I always try to mention you guys, because it's not just about me, or, you know, it's always us, because we succeed because we're a family. I mean, that's just, look, as Dom would say in Fast and Furious, it's about family.
It's about family.
Because it is, man. Family. It really is. Yep.
No, true, man. What about you, Pete?
No, I mean, it's 2022 has been an up and down year for a lot of people. You know, you went through one of your biggest moments with, you know, obviously that beautiful wedding in Vegas. The book, obviously the whole G4 thing happens, but look, if there's been anybody in this industry that has been resilient and has always shown that he can succeed, it's you. You took this show from a tape or a CD like before podcasts were even a thing and you saw the vision, right? And you brought us, you let us come with you on that journey. And so, you know, we all thank you for that. Paris, to see, you know, I've told you this countless times. So like, this is like just repeating myself, but I mean, seeing your growth in socials and in this space has been flat out amazing, right? To see the opportunities the both of you have gotten, just remarkable. I mean, it just like three, four years ago before I left, it was just like, you know, we were just happy to be at E3 in an Airbnb. Right. And now
I miss that, by the way. I really do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, same. And yeah. And I miss those dinners and just hanging out. So it'll happen again. I'll be back in LA soon. And, we'll do this up big time.
We gotta do that Tesla.
I gotta go rent a Tesla for a day and just do that. We gotta do that. In front of In-N-Out. We gotta do a record cover for sure.
If you do rent one, either the Y or the S, so we could play Steam on.
I'm not gonna get the same color. I'm gonna get a different color. I have to. I can't be the same color as everybody else. I gotta stand out. Yeah,
that'll be sick. That'll be sick. And P, I know you mentioned about, you know, the whole about my previous job and everything, G4 and everything, and you know, I honestly moved on. Like I had an amazing time being there and meeting the whole crew and meeting Adam, Kevin, everybody from like the first time. And it helped me, believe it or not, it helped me to show people even more that I'm really good at connecting with people in different ways. You know, I had an amazing time working there, man. But like there was people that bringing up G4 when I was at the Game Awards, and I go, yo, I had a good time there, but it's time to move on. Like I'm good, you know? So, but I appreciate that you mentioned that, man, real quick. So, all right. So, I think that's about it. This is going to be the last show until January 8th. I definitely want to take some time off, man. And just enjoy it with my wife and family. We're going to be traveling and everything. And plus I want to play some games, man. Just interrupt it. I don't want to be interrupted by Paris and Pete. I want to play some games, chill, you know? It's all good. But yeah, I just want to thank the community for sticking with us, still listening to GTR. I hope that in 2023, you're going to have more content, more surprises. You never know. And yeah, it's going to be a great year for gaming, man. So anything, last thing you guys want to say before we wrap it up? Paris, you want to say anything?
It's going to be a good early 2023.
All right. And he goes, wink. All right.
That first. Right.
Hey, for those that are not watching the stream, they're listening to the podcast. Maybe, I have to describe, you know.
Maybe it was for the stream. You ever think of that?
No, I podcast first. I will never forget the podcast listening. How dare you? How dare you? All right, Pete. What about you, Pete? No, anything left?
Shout outs to everybody. Shout out to Rihanna. Congrats on the new PC. I think we should bring her on the show one day to talk about that new gaming box.
Beautiful,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. PC. That was amazing. Yeah. I would love to hear her experience unboxing that, you know, and then just bringing it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Getting everything set up.
I also want to give a shout out to our mods. Shout out to Arctic, Tanya, Mandy, Rihanna, everybody that's been helping us out.
Absolutely.
Maintain the chat. They've been helpful. Very, very helpful, man. So thank you guys for the help. Thank you. And also shout out to the GTR community. We did a fantasy league. I've never done this before. We had to like predict like the games that's coming out next year, like the reviews and everything. I can't wait to do that. That's gonna be a lot of fun.
Can I say one last thing? Because you mentioned your name, and I know I mentioned it briefly as well.
Sure.
I miss Mandy. I miss arguing with Mandy. You know why? Because she can argue better than you, Danny. I miss that.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. No, but being serious for a second, and then I won't put the private information out, but a very good friend had sent a text because she was with Mandy and sent a picture of Mandy. And just even in that text thread, we were doing the all caps back and forth arguing that we always do. And just reminded me how much I missed because she was at TwitchCon, and unfortunately I didn't get to see her when she was there. So hopefully in 2023 we can all have a big reunion and all be together in the same place at the same time. Because again, one of the fondest memories I'll always have is when Pete and I were in France for a Ubisoft mm-hmm. event, and Mandy just so happened to be in London at the same time, and she came over for a day, and we all hung out in the streets of Paris and went to the Louvre and just all that. I still have all those pictures too. Went to the catacombs. We're flipping off Danny in a picture. It was great.
I'll never forget that. Yeah. Actually, yeah, the last time I saw Mandy, she came to the wedding too. Mm-hmm. And it was dope seeing her and Pee. We also did the same thing to Paris. We took a beautiful wedding picture with a middle finger.
Yeah.
Dedicated to Paris. It was beautiful. Yeah. And we were all dressed up looking nice and everything. It was good.
Yeah, it was good.
It was awesome. No, but I love Mandy. I love Mandy. She's awesome, man. So, all right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to GTR this year. Please, please post a review. Help us out. It will help us to get discovered, new people and everything, man, too. So, and also, if you'd like to be part of our family discussion, which we could start the new year with family questions, please send it in. Send it in. Doesn't matter if it's email or voicemail. Here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Also, next year is Super Nintendo World. We got to go over there in February. We got to go there in February here in California. So stay tuned for that. All right, until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.